This episode is sponsored by Long Beach Transit. Skip the campus parking stress this semester, because with a Go Beach Pass in your pocket, busing is easy. Get yours today by visiting rideobt.com/CSULB. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 6 of Teed Up, where everyone's a sports expert.
The podcast that makes you care about sports.
We're an original podcast created and produced by Long Beach State's student-run newspaper, The Daily 49er. I'm Naoki.
I'm Maddie G.
And Maddie, we've finally done this. We've done something unprecedented on this show.
I don't know how many episodes we've recorded, but we've talked athletes since the very first week and never got a single one to respond back and come on. So
yeah, this is huge. This is huge. I'm going to be very cringe for a second. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest episode so far. Whoa, we got four people on this desk today.
These are written like 10 seconds before leaving the newsroom today.
Please don't leave. But sitting from us across the table are the twins of women's golf who have been absolutely killing it this season, Jasmine and Janae Leoval. So would you guys introduce yourselves?
I'm Janae Leoval. I'm a sophomore here at Long Beach and a business management major.
I'm Jasmine Leoval, also a sophomore and also a business management major.
Was the matching of majors intentional?
Yes.
Yeah. We wanted all the same classes. We have the same exact schedule, too.
Wow.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I was going to ask, is that a twin thing? Or is it just like, it just makes it easier?
Yeah, we like split the work.
Someone does one assignment, the other does the other?
Yeah, like, we like split the questions and then like tell each other.
I'm thinking like secretly like only one of you is enrolled into school and they just go to class for each other.
Basically, could do that.
Oh my gosh. So, a big reason as to why we have you guys on. Well, first of all, you guys have, like I said, you guys have been doing amazing, and you guys deserve the attention that you guys really deserve for the amount of success you guys have been having this season. But this episode was originally pitched by your teammate, Madison Lee, and she wanted us to talk about just how kind of under the radar you guys have been flying this season, but you guys have been on a tear. So just talk about this sort of season that you guys are having right now as in women's golf.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool to make some noise for women's golf because it, as you said, it is a little under the radar, women's sports in general, but especially golf because it's a men's sport. And we have been making noise, though, and winning some tournaments in a row and setting records, which is super cool with our team.
I'm really proud of like how much of an impact we've made since we've gotten here. I know that before we started coming here and playing for the team, their ranking, I think, was 120, but now we're like 60 around.
We're 69th right now.
Yeah, nice.
Whoa. Nice.
But yeah, to be able to move that many spots in like really good competition, I think says a lot about what we've done for this program, and just really proud of, especially last fall, every tournament we had, we kept setting record after record and breaking our own records, and we ended up breaking 11 school records in one season.
Whoa.
So that's really cool.
Yeah, I remember just like with women's golf not getting as much coverage. We did end up writing a story, I think, when you won the Big West, and we had the interview set up, and it was just record after record. I mean, you set, like, the freshman records, right? So just how do you kind of lead from there and then keep going, especially if golf is a sport where each week is so much harder than the last?
Yeah, it's really hard. I think you just have to, like, be patient and understand that golf is golf, and it's not, like, linear, and it's going to get hard, and you're going to get good, and then you're going to get bad. So you just have to keep working hard, and then eventually it'll all pay off, and the past doesn't define you, whether it was bad or whether it was good. So just continuing to push yourself and move forward is what keeps me going, and regardless of what happened in the past.
What would you guys say so far through your career is your favorite golf memory?
I think for me, the last tournament of the fall in Vegas when we won as a team was really special because we, in the first time of women's golf history, we won back-to-back tournaments in the fall. So that was really cool to experience. Cool. And that was just where we set so many records in a row. Like we beat our previous record and then we beat it the next day. And that was super cool to experience.
Yeah, in that tournament too, the first day was not good at all for me. My score didn't end up counting, and I guess I got pretty mad because the next day I broke the school record, and now I hold the lowest score for a single round.
Whoa.
So at 8 under par. And it was really yeah, it was really cool. Because I was struggling with putting a lot that day in the first, like, 4 holes, and then I got to the back nine and made 7 birdies in 1-9.
Whoa.
And shot a 29, which is insane.
Dang.
Yeah.
This guy loves his birdies.
I do, actually. Yeah, I take a lot of bird photography. It's a lot of fun.
This man loves his birdies.
I mean, I'm pretty sure there's eagles, a lot of birds on courses.
Albatross.
Mm-hmm. Albatross. Oh. Eagle. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bird references in golf, yeah, actually.
We love our eagles here, don't we? Well, I do.
Fly,
come on.
Philly.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, we talked about exposure in general, but in the limited research I was able to find on you two, just, like, through the private Instagrams, the Wishbone Brawl, you both were on the actual flyer next to PGA player Xander
Schauffele.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just what's that kind of like, and what was that tournament like?
Oh, that was, like, the coolest experience of my life. It was an experience that not anyone can, like, say they've experienced before. I mean, only pros get to play that event, but they chose not only, like, amateurs in general, but college golfers, women college golfers. But it was super cool because that was our home course, and to be able to represent our home city is super special. It was so nerve-wracking, though. But I think we played really well under pressure. And even though there was, like, 1,000 people watching us, that was, like, the first time over, like, 10 people has watched us.
Yeah.
So that was really different. But I think we handled the pressure really well, and it was a really good learning experience.
Yeah, I remember we were in our dorms, and our dad gave us a call and said, how would you guys feel if you played in the Wishbone? And we both were in shock and wanted to say no. Like,
oh, you want
to- we both didn't want to play because it's just for pros and they're all so good and we know how many people watch. But looking back, it was so fun. My favorite part was how many little kids came up to us and asked us to sign their hats and golf balls.
Dang.
It was so cute. It was every hole someone would ask us, and just – yeah, how much of an impact, like seeing how much of an impact we've made, because those kids would come up and their parents would come up to us and tell us how inspiring and how great we're doing. So
wow.
That was really fun. Dude. I think that meant more than playing with pros
right.
to me, but it was just such an insane experience.
Dude, I think we bit off a bit more than we could chew. This is just student athletes. We got celebrities on here, bro.
Yeah, how does an opportunity like that really present itself? Because, like, I mean, collegiate sports are interesting. And then I know technically golf players can eventually get on the tour while still in college, right? Is that correct?
If you, like, no, when qualify? You turn pro, you can't be in college.
No,
but
you
can
play
an event as an amateur.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought, yeah.
Wow. Just so, declaring for the draft.
Yeah, how does, like, the Wishbone Brawl then come together? Is it, like, sign to do with NIL, or could you just play with
we've
it?
Been a part of the Wishbone Brawl for, I think, since it started, since that's our home course. And so in the beginning of the Wishbone, we would be, like, scorekeepers. And then the next year, we'd be, like, sign bearers. And then I caddied for Xander Schauffele and also Masters winner Mike Weir.
Whoa.
And then the next year, we worked at the hot dog stand with our brother.
Whoa, we love our Franks here.
We'll circle back to that.
Yeah.
And we didn't even get to watch the Wishbone that time. But and then I don't know how we went from working the hot dog stand to playing in the Wishbone.
Bro.
Like, that's so funny. I'm laughing because, like, how many people saw us, like, cooking hot dogs, and then they just see us the next year playing. Like, who are they?
Who are these people? Talk about kind of where this all started. How did golf kind of start becoming a thing that you guys actively wanted to do?
Yeah, we played a lot of different sports before golf. We played basketball and tennis, but did not like those because they involve running.
Running.
Okay. Yeah, I do not like running. And yeah, our dad just wanted to get us in any sports. And he played golf the entire time. He's been playing a lot of his life. And he just randomly decided to bring us to a putting green and then said we are naturals. And then since it didn't involve running, it was better for us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then I think we stuck to it because it's just really fun to see, like, or all the people you meet and, like, the places it takes you. It's, like, why golf is elite, in my opinion.
Wow.
Yeah, we've been able to experience so many cool things through programs that we've been a part of and grew up with. And just so cool what we've done.
You are just sophomores, right? But, like, is there still aspirations as far as what's next after collegiate golf? Like, do you think of the LPGA future?
Yeah, yeah. Our main goal is to play for the LPGA after college.
Whoa. It's going to take a lot of work, but I think we'll just join Q School after 4 years of college and see where that takes us.
Well, you mentioned golf is elite, so can we settle this debate that's been happening on all sports internet? Is golf the hardest sport to play?
I think people definitely don't give it enough credit. I know a lot of people say that golf is easy and you're just, like, hitting a ball with a stick, but, like, sure, you can do that, but I don't think you can get par.
Yeah.
So
there's just so much to take into consideration when you golf. Like, you have to consider the weather, like, how the green slopes, like, you're reading the floor. Like, which way that breaks, and there's just so much to it.
Yeah, even though it's not, like, that physically demanding, but it's still exhausting. Mm-hmm. It's definitely up there, I think, with the hardest sports. Yeah. I don't want to, like, put it in front of other sports because I know a lot of sports are really hard, especially because I hate running. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I just don't think people give it enough credit.
I'm happy to hear that take. I took a lot of abuse in my younger ages for arguing golf was the hardest sport. I have since switched a little bit. I think baseball could be there, but there's no way, like, even the physical demand differences that golf isn't the hardest sport. You look at pro golfers, they're shooting over par at tournaments. Mm-hmm. You could go, like, years without winning a tournament and then win a Masters. So it's just, like, so inconsistent, and you have to be on top of your game constantly to be good.
True.
I mean, what, Ricky Fowler's never won, like, stuff?
Not in a while.
Yeah. Rory McIlroy. Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, it's tough.
How do you, like, kind of get out of a slump? If you kind of, like, struggle for a whole tournament or through a couple holes, like, how do you get out of that slump?
I think you just have to trust your process and know that if you're doing the right things constantly, then the results will show in time. So just sticking to your process and knowing that everyone has bad days is really crucial to keep in mind.
Yeah, not letting bad days, like, affect your self-belief. Mm-hmm. And just keep working hard and keep pushing, and then it'll eventually pay off.
Well, you mentioned you guys worked at a hot dog stand from one of these wishbone brawls. We're also big hot dog connoisseurs. Wish we could have been there to have, like, a hot dog, like, put together by, you know, some future golf greats. But for now, we'll kind of have to say what we got. Maddie, what do you got for us on this very special edition of Frank Break today?
So I'll start it off with the Thunderbird hot dog. Okay. I mean, it's made on a golf course, kind of what you guys are doing, but it was at the WM Phoenix. I guess that's kind of what it's well known for, is the Thunderbird hot dog, as well as a rowdy golf tournament, I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they're served by a small army of Thunderbirds, and then they donate every cent to charity, resulting in about $30,000 each year. And so it comes out to a total of 6,300 hot dogs that are sold each weekend at that tournament. And the specialty of the hot dog is it's, instead of boiled in water, it's boiled in two bottles of Coors Light and then bell peppers and onions. And I guess it's, like, the best hot dog in the world. And golf and hot dogs is harder to find about than other sports. But, I mean, it's pretty common, I guess, to have a hot dog on the turn.
Yeah.
That's what it's called after nine, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. Would you guys ever go and have a hot dog on a turn?
Yeah, sometimes it hits different. But our brother, he actually works at a hot dog stand at Goat Hill Park, which is where the Wishbone was. Maybe, so he works there.
Maybe your calling is actually working as hot dog vendors, not golf players.
Yeah, it's in the blood. But he works there. I think he makes really good hot dogs. So shout out to them.
But there's a special hot dog order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so since our brother works at Goat Hill and makes hot dogs, we get free hot dogs whenever we want. And recently I've been liking, so you have the hot dog and then you put, or he puts grilled onions on it. And then you put the crunchy onions, like the fried onions. Ooh. And then you put regular onions.
So three layers of onions. Yeah. Okay.
Whoa.
And then a pickle on the side. They're pickled. Yes.
That's a big reference for us.
That's a big reference for us.
The pickle, they're so good.
I think my order would just be just the hot dog with extra grilled onions.
Ooh.
Just a lot of grilled onions. And then a lot of pickles on the side.
Yeah.
Dude. We might have to have you guys on for the Last Supper at this time, bro.
Yeah, sometimes we don't even get, like, a hot dog. We just eat pickles.
Well, yeah, when we're not hungry, we just get the pickles. And because we also, like, get it for free because our brother works there, so he can't tell us anything. So we just steal pickles.
Mm-hmm. And then the next one I want to talk about, nine-inning challenge is really famous on our podcast for multitude of reasons, but I'll talk about it more on the golf side. We'll call it 18 apple juices. 18 hot dogs, 18 golf holes. They call it the Happy Gilmore Challenge. Would you ever attempt something similar?
On a real tournament?
No. Not on a tournament. Not on a tournament.
No. That sounds fun, though.
What do you, how often do you?
It's once. Like, I guess for this one, be like once per hole, right?
No, I would imagine.
That seems easy.
A hot dog each hole?
18 hot dogs. Never mind.
Yeah. It'd be like a hot dog and, like, I guess, like a little carton of apple juice, right?
Yeah.
Like, per hole.
That'd be really fun to try.
But, like, I would think about, like, hole, like, eight.
Yeah, never mind.
The you guys are, like, off like, to the rough, like.
Yeah.
Like.
And then the last one I want to talk about is Ryan Fox. He is a pro golfer. Mid-round recently, he had won a tournament. I forget which tournament it was. The year before, he comes back to the course, eats a hot dog during the turn. Mid-round, spills mustard all over his shirt. What do you do if you have a shirt stain?
Ooh, like, on a golf course.
I think the pros probably, like, they have a lot of clothes. Mm-hmm. Like, they can just get stuff replaced. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if that happened to us, you just deal with it.
Yeah, definitely. You just deal
That's
with
just
it.
Embarrassing.
I've done that, or, like, I've spilled, like, ranch on myself on the course before.
Really?
Like, actually, like, it's happened, like, twice or three times.
How common is it to, like, snack during...
Oh, yeah, it's really, really important. We had, like, a nutritionist talk to us, and you have to eat, or, like, the goal is to eat, like, every...
Like, two, three holes.
Yeah, three holes. Just keep, like, carbs, keep the energy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because a whole 18 game is, what, like, 3 or 4 hours?
It's, like, yeah, 4 or 5 hours.
Five, six hours.
Yeah, because you have to wait, right, for the other players, too.
And college golf is pretty slow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and then 36 holes is which is our next tournament. We're playing 36. It's like 11 hours.
36.
Wait, you play 18 and then 18 again.
Yeah. There's no break.
Back to back.
That's got to be illegal.
It seems illegal.
That has to be some sort of like human rights violation or something.
Yeah, we're literally like slaving away. It's so hard.
Try the innings challenge on that game. 36
hours. Is that the tournament you look forward to the least?
Well, 30. There's multiple with 36 holes. Yeah, this is pretty common.
I think how many tournaments do we have? I think most of them are 36.
More. I think the only one that isn't 36 is...
Hawaii.
Yeah, Hawaii. Whoa. Yeah, we just want more days in Hawaii, that's why.
But yeah, and then we have to play 18 holes the day after 36.
That's crazy.
Yeah. What's the most holes you could, like, willingly play in a day?
There's a, like, 108-hole challenge at Goat Hill because it's, like, a shorter course. Mm-hmm. And we've caddied for it. You've caddied like, I did 72
like,
holes.
No, I've done like 90 holes.
I think I did 72 holes.
Dang.
Yeah, you wake up at like 5 and you finish.
And finish at dark.
No
but they take
way.
Like only a couple clubs and there's like the course is closed and yeah.
They just speed run it.
What?
Yeah.
No, that's gotta be illegal.
When I played golf, it would be like the worst experience ever because I went to a driving range last week and I think I was averaging 20, 30 yards maybe.
Really?
Golf's really hard. Yeah. Like, especially to start. Like, you can't be natural really when you start.
That's like a Le Mans, like, the F1 race. It's like the 24-hour, like,
oh,
F1
they made a movie
race.
About it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jeez.
Like, but those ones, you like switch out like a driver every couple hours. If you're just like one dude, on a golf course, just playing 108 holes.
Yeah. At least it's not a tournament, though. It's like a charity thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they donate for every, like, 18 holes or something.
I think
like
so.
Really? You must really care about charity if you're playing 108 holes. I don't know. What charity would you play 108-hole game of golf for?
The Wishbone.
Yeah. I back it.
Yeah.
We gotta start our own charity, the Frank Break Foundation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll donate a hot dog to we'll donate hot dogs to schools or something.
I don't think that's a good idea.
I don't think that's a good idea. So we talked about this kind of a little bit pre-recording. You guys are not good at mini golf, which you would think that as golf players, you guys would be like mini golf naturals or just like dominant, just collecting bets left and right in friend groups. But what's the struggle between, or what's like the, what, why are they not connected?
I feel like we just expect a lot on mini golf when it's like not the same at all. You have the weirdest looking holes ever and like unrealistic. Yeah. So there's a lot of luck involved and a lot of the times not on our side. But we don't go that often. But yeah, when we do, it's not that good.
But I mean, also the equipment, like not
the same.
Not up to par.
Oh. Dang. Dude, this is one of my favorite episodes. I love this.
Puns are good.
The puns are great.
We do have a golf name.
What?
Teed Up.
We do have a golf name.
Nice.
This episode is going to be called Teed Up, Tees Off, by the way. Like, we have to. You, in the midst of your research,
yeah,
or lack thereof, as we've mentioned, you found out that you guys have a twin Instagram page. Mm-hmm. So you want to ask about...
Well, I just wanted to give you the floor to give a shout out to the other account I found, Duke the Frenchie.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Follow Duke the Frenchie. He is the cutest, most handsome, and humble Frenchie out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There Duke go. The Frenchie with three E's.
You got the next one?
Yeah. I mean, collegiate sports, we haven't had any athletes, but since it happened, it's like NIL. Are there opportunities for you guys? Like, what would be the dream NIL deal?
Ooh. I really want an NIL with a company at Goat Hill called Linksole, but they don't make women's golf clothes like they used to.
What the heck? What's going on?
Yeah, their women's brand is like leggings and like comfortable stuff, like yoga stuff, but we don't wear that. Yeah. But maybe once they have a women's line, like I want to get sponsored by Linksole. We wear the men's clothes,
mm-hmm,
like all their t-shirts, we get them in a small, and they're just, I think they're the most comfortable shirts ever. And I like how minimalistic it is. And so the designs are really cool and the material's good.
Same thing?
Yeah, Linksole is a really good brand. If they had a women's line, that'd be super cool. But I think it's mostly just for, like, the wives, women's.
The wives of golf.
Wives
of
golfers.
Yeah.
You guys would be the pioneers of them getting a women's line.
I feel like you could push for it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Show them the rankings boosts.
Show them your biggest title. Just be like, look.
For real.
Come on. Come on. Well, talk to us about this, Jasmine, winning the Big West last year. What was that like for you? What was the process like in winning and everything? What was that like for you?
Yeah, so I think I owe a lot of it to the tournament before. So I was, but let's just start at the beginning of spring. I was really struggling, like playing really bad. And then we never grew up with a coach. Like our dad was our golf coach. And then, it just got bad. So I needed to see, like, finally have a coach. And so we met Brett Lederer. He is the coach at Virginia Country Club,
mm-hmm,
and started working with him. And it was just really good already. Like, I love him. Shout out to him. And so I started getting better and better, like, throughout the tournaments in the spring. And then there was this tournament at Silicon Valley, which is probably like the most professional tournament we play,
because
there's like a pro-am before, and then there's like signs and ropes, like people and spectators, and there's just like really fancy dinners and gatherings, and there's like a guest speaker. It's so fancy, and Stanford goes there too. So there's just like such high-ranked schools. And then the number one amateur in the world was there too. Wow. Her name was Rose Zhang, and the last round, I actually beat her. So,
dang.
Yeah, so I was just, like, at an all-time high.
Hold that. Hold that.
She's doing really good.
Yeah.
So I was at an all-time high, and then the next tournament was Big West. And I just called my dad after that tournament, and I was like, I beat the number one amateur in the world. Like, I'm going to win Big West.
Ooh.
I know.
Oh, you called your shot.
Yeah, I literally
called
it.
The shot.
Yeah. And then I shot 66 the first round and was leading, I think, by 4. And then the second round, I did really well in the wind and increased my lead by 3, so 7. And then I just knew, like, what was at stake the last round, and I was so nervous. Like, as a freshman, it was just really nerve-wracking, like, being able to have a chance to win the biggest tournament of the year. And I think I did good at, like, calming down and just reassuring that, like, everyone's going to make mistakes at some point, because I messed up in the beginning and it got to, like, within one stroke of my 7-stroke lead. And but yeah, I ended up coming through and winning by 3, so I think it meant a lot to win as a freshman.
So then as her sister, what was it like kind of watching her just take over and lock in and win?
Yeah, it was super cool being able to watch her, especially on the last hole of the whole tournament. We all finished before her because the final pairing is like where the leaders are, and she was in that group, so everyone was waiting at that green. And then we just knew that she was in the lead by 3, so she had it like down because she can't mess up that bad.
just don't mess this up.
Yeah, we're still all really nervous. Yeah. But I was holding like all the water bottles because like a tradition is to like drench the person on the green, like run at them and like throw water bottles and like pour it all over them.
There you
so,
go.
I mean, we've never like done that before. And just to see her win, like, the event that we've been preparing the most for was super cool. Dang. Even though, like, I did the worst that week. At least one of us did good.
There you go. You got one more question?
My question got stolen, actually. I was going to talk about the photo with the water drenching. So that's proper golf etiquette, like, the way to celebrate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ooh. Yeah, like, yeah.
Showers and other sports in the water for golf.
Even for, like, LPGA tournaments, they do it with champagne, though.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not bad for the grass.
I think the celebration is more important.
They can't use champagne. They're not old enough yet.
Mm-hmm. Apple juice.
Apple juice. Or apple cider. Like a good old-fashioned apple cider. If we win an award for this show, we got to do that.
Apple juice.
Apple juice.
And then I do have one actual last question, though. Just kind of like the state of golf. I know golf, as a sport we talked about, doesn't get all the coverage, but right now it's kind of a big timing of like LIV and just stuff like that. How much do you follow the pro scene and just kind of what's happening there?
I don't really know that much about LIV, but I think it is really weird to see a split between men or professional golf. I think that they both have such good players, and to see like people move for the money is a little weird, but like kind of understandable. I think that they work really hard for that.
Yeah, I think the problem was that like the PGA wasn't giving them enough money, like what they deserved. So the LIV was kind of good for the PGA because I know like once the split started happening, like the PGA purses were getting like way higher, which where was that money before?
Like
they just had it. But I guess it's good for the PGA, but it is weird seeing like not seeing players that you always used to see. And then in the Masters tournament, like a lot of people aren't gonna play in that, so that's unfortunate. Like I think the fans just want to see like somewhere where we can watch the best players in the world like in one spot.
And then one last question. But dream hole or dream course? Yeah.
I've already played like a bucket list course called Pebble Beach, and that was really fun. Like, I'm really proud that I didn't hit in the water on hole 18, which is such an iconic hole. I striped it every time. But I think I'd love to play Augusta.
Augusta? One day.
Mm-hmm. I think I've also already played my dream hole, which is hole 16 at Cypress Point, one of the most exclusive golf courses in the world. And we had the chance to do this through a program that we grew up with called Pro Kids, and where only a few kids get to play Cypress. And we did a whole Monterey trip there and played other courses, but this is the most insane course I've ever seen. And hole 16 is a par 3 over the water. It's like such a beautiful scenery.
It's like 230 and yards.
Yeah, we played it to where we hit driver off the tee.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Dang. This is soccer is the beautiful game. I'm going to make the argument that golf is the most beautiful golf. Game.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, actually.
Yeah. How do you make like a field that pretty?
There's some good ones.
That's true.
Carving the mountains, but it's not a golf course.
I guess.
Yeah.
Golf we just have like just nature.
Yeah.
Like the ocean. Everything. Oh, and another course or our favorite course, one of our top favorite courses is in
Hawaii?
Yeah. Oahu? Oh, no. The Big Island. Hualalai. And it's built on top of lava rocks and Whoa. By the ocean. And Ooh. Like the most pure course I've ever played. So.
Dang.
Really pretty.
Yeah.
I don't think we have the budget for that.
No, we don't.
So expensive.
Get ourselves to Henderson, Nevada.
No, you can't even sponsor us to get 9 hot dogs for the 9-inning challenge.
No.
We have to pay for everything.
Yeah. Our brother can ship it here.
No. Oh, that's right. That's right. To kind of close out the show, we kind of started off at the top that not only are you guys kind of, you guys are kind of like within a class within a class, right? You guys are already kind of playing a sport that's not immensely popular within the more casual population, but you guys are also women. So it's like a class within a class of kind of underappreciated, overlooked athletes. So I kind of want to give you guys this platform now to kind of, I don't want to call it convince, but state the case of why more people should be tuning in to women's golf.
I think more people should be watching women's golf, especially the LPGA, because it's a lot more realistic to what golf is. I think that the normal golfer can relate to women's like swing speeds and like tempo more than men golfers. And the men are just, they're definitely way better. They're insane. And like,
unrealistic. Like, yeah. I think when people like are starting golf, they want to swing as hard as PGA pros, but that's just not
what happens.
Yeah. That's not going to happen. And if you watch LPGA, then you'll learn like tempo is more important.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow. There you go. Watch more women's golf or watch the LPGA. We might as start tuning into the LPGA a little bit
My
more.
Dad watches the LPGA.
Word.
Yeah.
That's nice. Where I first learned golf.
About the LPGA?
Like, yeah, just golf.
That's your dad?
Mm-hmm.
I learned it from Wii Sports. I didn't know what golf yeah. was until I saw it on the game mode. Are you guys good at Wii Sports golf? Like, would you guys say that?
Not
like,
really.
Have not played in a while. I want to see that again.
2v2?
Maybe I'll be better.
Me and Maddie versus yeah. you two and Wii Sports.
Yeah, we have to
Yeah, we're trying to, like, make it's some, fair. Like, video content. We might have to do that.
Yeah.
Dude, we'll have to make that happen.
We have a Wii in the newsroom.
We do have a Wii in the newsroom. That, we might have to make it happen here.
We should.
But with all that being said, thank you guys for coming on. You guys are the first athletes to ever come on this show. So you guys, wow. English, bro. Some might say you guys are a part of an exclusive club. It never ends here, bro. This is my favorite episode. But with that being said, I would first like to thank you to our sponsor, Long Beach Transit. Looking to study abroad this semester? Roll with us and see how chill getting to class can really be. Grab your Go Beach Pass by visiting rideobt.com/CSUOB. I want to thank you guys for joining us for the season 3, episode 6 of Teed Up. Thank you to our video editor and producer, Aiden Swanepoel, and our multimedia producer, Al Nicklin. If you want to stay up to date on the latest in Long Beach sports, check out our website, dilly49er.com, and follow us on socials at dilly49er. Davis, sports editor, this is my call out to you. We need more women's sports, women's golf coverage on our paper. Dang it. If me and Maddie have to go to a game, we'll do it.
I say do the 108.
The 108 ones? The Le Mans of golf?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you guys for coming. We do this thing where we put out this little heart. I don't know if you guys want to try and do this, but this is a little outro heart. There you go. And we'll catch you guys next week. Let's go!